Psalm 119 tells us why we sing God's word, why we read God's word, why we meditate on God's word, why we have preaching of God's word. It makes us wiser than our foes. It's the way and the pathway of life. Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 23. Earlier we heard from Matthew 22, kind of the lead-in to this conversation that Jesus has been having with the religious leaders of the day. And as you're turning there, it's already the September is getting old. October is almost here. Next month, perhaps you will celebrate Halloween. Halloween's becoming quite a popular holiday in America. Americans will spend about $9 billion, according to the National Retail Federation. That sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But that is way behind what will be spent on Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and Christmas. So you might hear rumor periodically, I've heard this, that Halloween was catching up to Christmas. It's not. It is way behind. But some of you may take opportunity to put on a costume and go to a party. Or some of you might put on a costume so you can go out and trick-or-treat. Some, in fact, many, the growth industry in Halloween is costumes for pets. So maybe you will dress up your pet. I don't know what your plan is. But at the end of the day, when the party is over, the costume comes off. We are not, in fact, princesses. We are not Batman. We are not a pirate. We are not a vampire. We are not a zombie. At the end of the day, you are still you. Pretending can be fun. But for some, pretending becomes a way of life. Especially in our religious life. It's easy to fall into pretending. We pretend that all is okay. In fact, we do this just generally. Meet somebody, what do we ask? How are you doing? And what answer do you expect? Good, fine, okay. You really don't want someone to say, my life is a wreck. Do you have half an hour? We don't want honesty. It's not really an honest question. And we don't really want an honest answer. So we come to church and everybody looks put together, as if we're doing well and we are good. Many will go through the motions. They'll keep up appearances. But there's no real heart for God. Or there's no real understanding. Actions don't align with the affections. And in Matthew 23, Jesus warns us not to follow such examples, but instead to follow the real deal. Now, we're only going to read the first 12 verses or so of Matthew 23, but he's leading into a series of condemnations on the religious leaders of the day, where Jesus will begin to call them out in various aspects of their life. Woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. We're only going to look at the first 12 verses, which sets up those words that we'll look at, Lord willing, next week. But this is what Jesus says, beginning at verse 1 of Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And we'll end the reading there at verse 12. Here Jesus warns us of the dangers of insincerity. And he calls out the Pharisees particularly, the scribes and Pharisees, in three areas of their life. He charges them with hypocrisy. He charges them really with flamboyancy, showiness. And he charges them with vanity and pride. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees served God in appearance. They put the emphasis on show. How does this look? What will people think? Look at verse 5. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. It's this externalizing of religion and devotion that provoked Jesus' startling comment, "Do what they say, not what they do." They preach, but don't practice. Ouch. I don't know, have you ever been accused of that? Did you ever get called out maybe by a family member? You talk a really good game, but you don't follow through? They preach, but they don't practice. See, these were the authoritative teachers of the law, and they knew the law. They were not ignorant. They knew the Old Testament law. And so Jesus says, obey what they tell you. They will tell you what Moses said, what God said through Moses, but as you observe them, don't do as they do. Reject their example. They're a bit like the person who is always talking about the importance of saving money, but who himself is in debt and doesn't save at all. Or the person who talks a lot about giving, but who himself is not generous. So you should be giving. You should be generous, but I'm not. You should save money, but I don't. Or
those other companies, the benefits of health, and yet itself is maybe overweight, doesn't exercise, doesn't eat right, doesn't get enough sleep. But he's always talking about that to others. The rest of the chapter, Jesus will unpack that. Woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. These teachers taught the law of God, but they also taught tradition. Turn back to Matthew 15 for a moment.
Matthew 15. At verse 2, these same scribes and Pharisees come to Jesus and say, why do your disciples
break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely 18 years. She was bent over, could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered them, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And I not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from his bond on the Sabbath day?" Here's the crux. Say one thing, do another. Judge others. They had no compassion. In fact, they had no capacity for sympathy or pity. That's what hypocrites do. They judge others. So they try to establish their own standing before God by doing the law.
Stop.
interests. For them, it was all about reputation, standing, position, status, and rank. They were concerned about, well, who's where? Who's measuring up? Who's not? But the scriptures say God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. They didn't really understand the dynamics of the kingdom of God. They brought the way the world thinks into their religion. So instead of pleasing God, they actually were opposed by God. A little later, there's going to be quite a famous Pharisee who's brought up quite short by this. Saul, better known as the Apostle Paul, who thought in his persecution of the church and his persecution of Jesus that he was doing something for God. And discovers that the very person that would zeal for God is persecuting is God himself. And he is shattered. They're opposed by God. Do not follow their lead. Such an example will lead us to destruction. For Proverbs 15, verse 25, we read that God tears down the house of the proud. And he would do that a little later in Jerusalem. The Roman general Titus would come and destroy that city. So while he tears down the proud, he gives grace to the humble. And the model of humility is standing in their midst. And he is speaking, even today, even in our midst, by this living word. Do not follow the example of insincerity, but rather follow the real deal, Christ himself, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. There couldn't be any more startling difference between the religious leaders of the day and Jesus, who was not stuck on titles, not stuck on vanity, not stuck on how he looked.
Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow.
Just come.